There was a Brahmin, it seems.
In the Buddhist scriptures, Brahmins are always popping up, like Mara. A Brahmin came to the Buddha and he asked whether the Buddha did not teach all his disciples equally, teach them all the way to Nirvana. And the Buddha said, yes, I do. I teach them all the way to Nirvana, the way to enlightenment, the way to true individuality. And then the Brahmin asked, but do they all equally attain enlightenment? Do they all become actually true individuals? And the Buddha said, no. Some do, some don't. So the Brahmin was rather puzzled, and he asked, well, why is this? They all get the same teaching. Why don't they all realize Nirvana? Why don't they all become true individuals? So the Buddha said, let me give you an example. He said, there's the city of Rajagriha. Apparently it was nearby. He said, you know the city of Rajagriha. You know the way to the city of Rajagriha. So suppose two men come to you and they both ask you, please tell me the way to Rajagriha. And supposing you give quite detailed instructions, go along this road, past that bush, turn that corner, go through that grove of mango trees, and then you'll get to the city. Suppose you give both of them these instructions, these directions. And suppose one follows your directions and arrives, but the other does not follow your directions. He just makes some mistake, or he's careless, and he doesn't arrive. So, then what happens? He said, the Buddha said to the Brahmin, would it be your fault? Would you be to blame for that? So the Brahmin said, no. If after I had explained the way, if I'd given the proper directions, one of them found the way, but the other did not find the way, it wouldn't be any fault of mine. I wouldn't be to blame. I'm only the shower of the way. I only give the directions. So the Buddha said, it's the same in the case of the Buddha. It's the same in my case. I'm only a shower of the way. The Buddha is only the shower of the way. But it's up to the individual to follow that way, to decide for himself whether he's going to follow that way or not. So this sort of attitude, we may say, shows tremendous respect for the individual. It shows great confidence in the potential of the individual. And it shows appreciation of the fact that the individual cannot be forced. He must want to change. He must want to develop. All that one can do is to show him how. Show him an example. Encourage, if you can even, inspire him. But one can do no more than that. You can't force him. You can't bribe him. You can't threaten him. You can only show him the way. That is to say, if you are an individual and trying to deal with him as an individual, you can only show him the way and leave it to him to follow or not to follow. And this sort of attitude is the basis of Buddhism's well-known tolerance. Buddhism, it seems, is very deeply conscious of human differences, very deeply conscious of the fact that we are not all the same. We've got our different temperaments, our different characters, our different characteristics, our different ways of looking at things. We cannot always see things in exactly the same sort of way. And therefore, we have to be allowed to develop, each one of us, in his own manner, in her own manner. And for this reason, in the whole of its history of 2,500 years, Buddhism has never persecuted anybody for his beliefs. There's no such thing as heresy in Buddhism. There is such a thing as wrong views, that is to say, views which hold us back and prevent us from developing. But these wrong views are to be corrected, if they're to be corrected at all, by discussion, not by force. Force has absolutely no place in Buddhism, no place in the spiritual life.